live in the freedom city of God. We are called walk in justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called one another to walk humbly with God. For the hopeless, so hatred and blindness will be no more. We are called to act with justice. We are called to orderly. We are called to one another, to walk humbly with God. Sing, sing a new song. Sing of the great day when all will be one. God will reign and we'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love. We are called to act with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to support another, to walk humbly with God.
I could sing that song every Sunday. We continue with the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that in our words and deeds the world may see the life, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So today, the lesson is on the Beatitudes. And one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are those who mourn. So I'm going to wear my Minnesota Viking hat that I got last week, trying to gain some consolation from the lesson for today. So, blessed are those who mourn, and you shall be comforted, it says. And I guess that means you don't win all the time. So, but also, the song that we did last week was Jesus is a Rock, and it talks also about taking away our blues, which is our sadnesses. So if you guys will stand, and why don't you guys stand too? Let's do it all together. So it goes like this. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Ba, shoo, ba, shoo, ba, boo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Ba, shoo, ba, shoo, ba, boo! Okay. Then, after we get away with that about three times, then there's two verses. One is, there's three lines in each of the two verses, and the first verse starts with, when you're out on the street. And each of the three lines begins like that. So when you're out on the street, you're feeling down and low. When you're out on the street and you got no place to go. When you're out on the street, well, Jesus is going to save your soul. So just remember when you're out on the street. Then I'm going to ask why. And then you guys say, because... us as long as you can hold it in the air, and then we'll go, Jesus rock. Okay, the second verse is, and you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, the sky is bright and blue. When you wake up in the morning, and the big world's after you. When you wake up in the morning, well, Jesus is going to pull you through. Okay, and then why? Because. Okay, so this is a fun song, and it's the only song I can actually say is a rock and roll song that I play. Okay. Penny, I'm counting on you because you know it from last week, and you did all the action. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee-bop, shee-bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee-bop, shee-bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee-bop, shee-bop, woo! When you're out on the street and you're feeling down and low. Bop, shee-bop, shee-bop, woo! When you're out on the street and you got no place to go. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! When you're out on the street, well, Jesus is gonna save your soul. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Why? Because Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! When you wake up in the morning and the sky ain't bright or blue. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! When you wake up in the morning and the big world's after you. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! When you wake up in the morning, well, Jesus is gonna pull you through. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Why? Because Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shee, bop, shee, bop, woo! Good job! Oh, you guys really got into it today. It made me feel much better. Okay, you guys can go to your Sunday school class and we'll continue.
In his sight, Jesus loves the little children of the world. A reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you endured foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgad, that you may know the serving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come with before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Word of God, Word of Life. Let us pray Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. For to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. where in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. So in last week's lesson, we were also in Matthew's Gospel, and we heard about John the Baptist being arrested. And as a result of John the Baptist being arrested, Jesus leaves the area, which is in Judea around Jerusalem. And he goes about an 80-mile journey to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the city of Capernaum, which is by the sea, on the very north end of the Sea of Galilee. So you have to go through all of Judea, you have to go through Samaria, and then you have to go into Galilee, and then you go to the end of Galilee. So it's the end of the Sea of Galilee. So it's a long, long journey. And why he decides to begin there, I believe it's pretty clear. It's because he's following Peter and Andrew, who he already knows, according to John's Gospel. He's already had this relationship with them. And I think he's saying, it's time to begin my ministry. And I want to make sure that Peter and Andrew are a part of it. And so he goes all the way to this land of Zebulun and Naphtali, to the land of Capernaum, calls his first disciples. And I think how he calls James and John is because Peter and Andrew have already been talking about Jesus. And so they already know about him. And so when he asked them to come and follow them, they leave their nets and their father and also follow Jesus. So there's at least four main disciples now that are following Jesus. But to me, the most fascinating thing is Jesus changing his message. John knew that Jesus was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, and that he baptized with water for repentance. But all of a sudden, Jesus' message, he picks up where John left off, literally, because he's in prison now. And the message is that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so last week I talked about how repentance is a part of both John's and Jesus' message, especially initially, but then they go in opposite directions, and just amazingly so. And I want to talk a little bit more about that separation between the two. So repentance has this dual understanding. And I like to illustrate it like this. Repentance, according to John the Baptist, was like carrying a big stick. And he says, you bad person, repent. You slime bag, you repent. And he keeps hitting people, you know, with this repentance, because you have to be turning around from your ways. You have to go in a new direction. You have to give up this sin that is a part of your lives. And so he sees God as this persecutor, and also that punishment must take place, that he keeps beating these people with this idea of repentance. Jesus sees repentance altogether differently. Jesus sees repentance as what it was actually meant. If the word repentance in Greek is metanoia, it really means going in a new direction. It has nothing to do with giving up the error of your ways. It just has, now you're going in a new direction. And the new direction for Jesus is for the forgiveness of sins, not to be punished for your sins. And so I see Jesus as like saying, you're carrying this heavy load of sin. It's too heavy for you to carry. Let me carry it for you. Let me forgive you so you don't have to have this sense of punishment and God condemning you. But let me carry your sins, because that's why I'm here. I'm here to carry your sins. And I'm here also to show you a new way, God's way in your life. And you can reject the old way so that you can follow this new way, because I am the way and the truth and the life. And I will show you the way that God is asking you to go, and I will show you a way that will be rewarding to you, and that the consequences you do will be very good consequences, not negative ones. And then John, for example, he talks about, when he talks about the tree, he says, it's got to be cut at the root. And I know one thing, you cut any tree at its root and it's going to die. And that's the way John felt repentance was meant. It's meant to be cutting the trees at the root. Jesus talks about fruit, consequences. Every tree that bears good fruit, every tree that is good bears good fruit. Every tree that is bad bears bad fruit. And if you are bearing good fruit, we might prune you a little bit, but at the same time, it's only so that you can bear better fruit, and better fruit than you already are producing. So, wonderful way that Jesus has of explaining that this way that he is offering is a new way, and it's God's way. And I think if you look at the Old Testament, it's really hard to find Jesus' way. But it's there. It's just that it's kind of hidden. And so Jesus brings out this loving Father that's not evident all together in the Old Testament. Jesus brings out the way that it's more important how we treat one another than if we offer worship to God. You know, that our caring for one another is just as important, if not more important, than our worship of God. And so all these things are coming through Jesus, and he's emphasizing them at the expense of what the John the Baptist might look at. Now, our lesson for today is the Beatitudes. And to me, the Beatitudes is a part of this new way. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. I mean, you can go through the whole list, and I think there's a theme in the whole list. The theme is vulnerability. I don't care what it is that makes you a vulnerable human being. When you are vulnerable, you are apt to be able to receive what God has to offer. Without that vulnerability, you can't receive what God has to offer, because you come to God already self-satisfied. Self-righteous is what it is. I always look at it as a cup. So you come to God either with an empty cup or a full cup. Maybe some of you come with half-filled cups. But the fact is that if you come to God with a full cup, if you're already self-satisfied, God can't give you a thing. Not that he doesn't want to give you something. It's just that you're coming to him with a full cup. But if you come to God with a half a cup or an empty cup, like the Beatitudes would say, vulnerable, then God can fill you. God can provide for you. God can give you things that you can't even imagine, because you have this vulnerability that you're proclaiming to him. So that's the way that Jesus offers, this brand new way, this way of vulnerability that is lifted up and so different from the world, right? I mean, who would say, blessed are the meek and blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who suffer? I mean, how can we possibly go along with that except Jesus is offering us a new way? A new way that he is explaining is God's way, and it's the way that God fills us when we are most in need. One more thing. And that is that I think this is not time related. We have a tendency in our world today to be really conscious of wanting things now. It's like you pray for patience and you want it now. You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know, the fact is that God has to have a sense that if you look at it, there's no time restraint in any one of these Beatitudes. Meek, pure in heart, persecuted. It isn't like you're going to check them off the list, you know. And so I've got that one now. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's like in the fullness of time, these things are a part of our lives. We can't avoid them. At some time in our lives, as long as you are honest with yourself, you're going to be meek. You're going to be suffering. You're going to be persecuted. And so you just take them in and realize that God has a purpose for that. And that that purpose is not time related, but blessing related. God will bless those who are in those circumstances. I like to call it like the workings of a clock. And a clock that goes too fast is just as wrong as a clock that goes too slow. So we have a tendency to want to go too fast. To think that God needs to give us his wisdom, his purposes, his way immediately, right now, yesterday. It should have been here, you know. And that isn't the way God works. God has this, I mean, just look at creation, how wonderfully in tune the creation is without rushing itself. I used to think that when I was a kid and gardened, you know, and you put those little seeds in the soil and it takes forever for them to germinate. And then finally they germinate and there's a little tiny something there, but it's not much, you know, it's not really what I had in mind. And so it just takes this fullness of time. And it takes appreciation of things at the time. I was talking to some parents not too long ago, and it's so easy to miss your children at the time they're at. Because you see all the difficulties of that time that they're at. But that time is going to change. That time won't be there forever. And so we have to be in tune with the things as they are when they're at, they're there. And to like be the clock with not too fast, not too slow, just in the moment. The Buddhists really know what that is, to be in the moment. And I think it's a Christian understanding, too, of life. To whatever is happening in your life, that God's time is the most important time, because God has a plan, and we are placing ourselves clearly into God's hands. Amen.